world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, some technical difficulties here this morning. Probably on my end. Spencer did everything he could to try to get us up here and running on time. We're here. We're ready to roll. And, man, I got some good stuff to roll out with you today. Got some good stuff. Hey, listen, I want to, we're having the annual come up. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to show you something here, okay, so that you guys know what's going on. I don't want to charge anything for the annual. I mean, you got to charge something because that's the only way people come if they got an investment. But people who come, they got to get a night, maybe two nights in a hotel, got to drive, gas price. It's hard, man. It's hard. And so Gary and I were talking, Gary Pierce, who's, you know, he keeps me straight. We went through yesterday what it's going to cost to do it. And he says, well, pull that up there. It says annual cost breakdown. Did I send that to you, Spence? Folks, I just want to be above board with everybody so you know what's going on, okay? I don't want to charge anything. I want people to be able to come, okay? But here, Gary's fixed costs for us to do the event at Sky High. Speakers, only $1,050. That ain't much. We got to pay their expenses. You get that, right? Meals. How much would it cost if you got meals? And then we had to get like tents and stuff like that. And so the total breakdown for us to do the event is almost $4,000, $3,836. And I'm just wondering, not everybody can come. Can we just raise that money? Can we just raise that money and let people come for $10 rather than $50 for a husband and a wife come? It's going to cost them $120 just for the tickets. They say, what's going on? Well, it's expenses that are involved with it. And so Gary and I have been going back and forth a couple of days on it. We're talking, we need 65 people to come, each person paying, what's the cost down there at the bottom? $60. That's a husband and wife. It's $120. Dude, come on. We don't have that kind of money. But if we could out there, if we could just raise, even half of it, then we can knock the price. I told Gary, I went round and round with Gary. I said, Gary, I don't want to make money off of it. I ain't worried about making money. I want people to come. They need to come. And so I don't even know how to go about it. I'm just making the appeal to you out there. Can we raise $4,000? Can we raise $2,500? And so then we can make a ticket $20. Now understand the meals, right? Meals are free. The meals are in there. We're gonna feed you. Let me get it right. No, we're gonna feed you two meals on a meal on Friday. I think I got it right, Gary. No, two meals on Saturday. Three meals. Right? We want everybody. We want people to come. We don't want money to be a factor. Okay. So somebody think this through. Help me out. How we could just raise that money. So people can look, it's going to cost them a lot to come. Somebody's going to drive here. Ray LeBlanc comes down here from Wisconsin, hotel, gas. I get it, man. I get it. So, Betty says, what's $60? I get it. It is. And it's an excuse for some people. So I'm going to be talking more about that. I want you to see what it's going to cost us to do it. We rent a tent, chairs, porta potties, all that kind of stuff to pull off. I told Gary, I said, I don't care if we lose money. I want people to come. Fellowship. Okay. So we're going to talk more about this. Look at that. Is that feasible that we can raise that kind of money? I think it is. Ain't nothing. Okay, cool. So I'm going to be talking more about that. I got some really, really good stuff here. Hey, Spencer Women. Let me see. Let me get back over here where I am. Pull up for me if you can. July, pull up Fritz's website. Folks, it's going to be really good. Fritz Zimmerman's coming on July 10 through 12. And he is the world's expert on Nephilim, the giants. And he's going to come. I talked to him last night, and he's going to take us to these places. He's going to take you to what they call the circle mound. And he's going to stand there and he's going to explain to all of us what happened to the circle mound. He's going to take us to the alligator mound and explain. These were not done by Indians, folks. They were not done by Indians. So our event on 10, 11, and 12 is going to be all about the giants and the mounds, okay? You say, Coach, what has this got to do with anything? Well, here's what it's got to do with it, okay? Where is it? Men's hearts. Bring up number 10. Bring up number 10. Folks, I want you all to come. You can camp. We just want you to come. Luke 21:26 describes people being overwhelmed with fear and anxiety as they witness the approaching upheavals on earth and in the heavens. Now, let me ask you something. What is going to happen when men's hearts are going to fail them for fear? What's that going to mean? In the King James Version, it reads, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what I think it is. That's the reason we're doing this thing. I believe those big giants are coming back, baby. That's what I think. I think they're coming back. And we're going to talk about that, right? The verse follows descriptions of distress, wars, natural signs, the sun, moon, stars. Look, I'm going to get scared about an earthquake and a hurricane. I'm going to get scared. But if some Nephilim giant, which are buried over here in these hills. Oh, yeah, I'm going to show you that. If those Nephilim giants come up out of those graves. Hey, Betty, that make you wet your pants? Huh? Would your heart be failing you for fear if we see that happen? The supernatural. And again, remember this. We don't really believe in the supernatural anymore. In fact, most of us are being taught we won't even be around for all this stuff when it happens. Really? Really? All right. We'll take you someplace. Stay with me today, okay? I want to go back to something unbelievable. Again, throw Fritz's website up there, folks, so you can see what Fritz is all about. There it is. And just scroll down his page. Put it in the chat so you can see what Fritz is all about. Folks, the mound, they call Newark, Ohio, the mound city because the Nephilim mounds are here everywhere. But they tell us it was the Hopewell Indians. These were not built by Indians, folks. Not built. So, okay, there's Fritz. There's Fritz back. Go back up. There's Fritz standing at Mound Builders Park where we're going to take you there. He calls it the Newark, Ohio Hinge. Most people go to church and they don't have it. People here in Licking County, they don't even know this. They don't even know this. Oh, I'm getting all over the place. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. So I'm going to show you this. Bring up just some stuff that you didn't know, okay? Bring up Phoenician. Phoenician. I'm going to show you something here. Blow your mind. Phoenician was an ancient Canaanite Semitic language spoken along the Eastern Mediterranean, notable for its influential alphabet and role as a lingua franca in the Iron Age. So when was Phoenician? Phoenician, natively known, originated in the 11th century. The 11th century, the language Phoenician. Say, what, Coach, what are you talking about? Stay with me. Language originated in the 11th century. That'd be the 1200s. And Tyre, Sidon, and Byblos. In the regions corresponding to modern Lebanon, parts of Syria, and Israel. The language was Phoenician. It was a Northwest language, Semitic language, closely related to Hebrew and Moabite, forming the Canaanite subgroup. All right? So we know that Phoenician existed in the what, the 1200s. The language was, okay. Now, I'll show you something here. Bring up for me Glenn Beck. Say what? Yeah, bring up Glenn Beck. Now, this is, I remember sitting, this is a long time ago. I don't know when this first, Glenn Beck used to have a show on Fox News. I don't know if you guys remember that. And Glenn Beck is talking about, wow, where do I show it? But hang on, pull up number five. Stay with me, friends. Stay with me a second. Pull up number five. No, I don't want that. Not yet. Pull up number six. Oh, okay. Okay, go back. Go back. I'm going to play Glenn Beck. Because, folks, here's what I want you to know. That right over the hill here, where legend, where the concert venue is, those of you who've been here know what I'm talking about. Right over here in the Jacksontown Mound, they discovered this copy of the Decalogue. Now, the Decalogue is what? Betty, what's the Decalogue? Not putting you on the spot. What's the Decalogue? Ten Commandments. Deca, ten. They found a stone Phoenician, a stone copy of the Ten Commandments written in Phoenician in Jacksontown, Ohio. Now, this was on Glenn Beck. I don't know how long ago it was, okay? I remember watching it live in my house thinking, what the hell? Because I wasn't awake. I didn't understand all the stuff that was going on. I just froze up. Did I freeze up? Can you hear me? Am I okay? Okay, I don't care. So play this. Glenn Beck, folks, I don't know how long ago this was. I don't know how long it goes. Glenn Beck is going to talk to us about this copy of the Decalogue written in Phoenician, found at Jacksontown, Ohio, right over the hill. Now, hang on. Question you have to ask as you watch this. When did Columbus sail the ocean blue and discover America? When was that? Somebody help me out here.
1492.
And these Decalogue stones were in the 1100s. Did Columbus really discover the new earth? And how the hell can a copy of the Ten Commandments from the 10th century be in Jacksontown, Ohio? Go ahead and play it.
1860, David Weyrich. He's a guy who surveyed the Newark earthworks. He was digging into a mound near those earthworks, and he found a wooden coffin made of oak. They opened up the coffin and found a skeleton of a man holding a little box. It was about 8.10 inches in size. The box had been cemented shut. Here.
Freeze it. So they open this tomb, this box, and there's a skeleton laying in there with this little box on the guy. I don't know if he's holding it. I don't know, whatever. They open the box and they find this other box. Go ahead.
By the way, is sitting in Ohio. Well, he opened up the box and he found a little man inside, a little black stone. They took it to scholars and they looked at it. The man seems to be carrying something. And there's writing here at first they couldn't recognize. The writing is, they thought in 1860, some sort of Hebrew. Well, finally, about 20 years later, they found some rabbis living in the area, and the rabbis looked at that, and they could read it. They said it was an old, old kind of block Hebrew, and it was a rendition of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is another piece. Block Hebrew. They said they'd never seen anything like it. Mainstream archaeologists at the time called this a hoax. But then in 1900, or just about after 1900, in Israel, they found the same block-style Hebrew writing. Mainstream archaeologists still dismissed the findings. They found it in Israel, and they found it in Ohio. But there was another stone that they found that they couldn't argue. This is the Bat Creek Stone. It was found during the course of an official Smithsonian evacuation. The Smithsonian didn't understand the meaning of the writing on the stone. They thought it was Cherokee, since it came from Cherokee country. They didn't realize that it's actually Hebrew. They had published this originally upside down. They threw it in a box at the bottom of the Smithsonian, put it in the basement. Many years later, a scholar took it out of the box, looked at it, and went, oh my gosh, it's upside down. It's Phoenician, ancient Hebrew. So what's going on here? What is that about? Where is that history?
I don't know if you're getting the magnitude of this stuff, right?
Where is that history?
They have a copy of the Ten Commandments before Columbus discovered America. Are you following this at all? Ancient Hebrew, Phoenician, over here. Over here. In a box. Here. Where L.A. Marzulli calls this Nephilim Central. Here. So there's two things that are, hey, who told you that and why do you believe them, right? So the history that they've given us of Columbus sailing the ocean blue, 1492, and discovering a new land, appears to be hogwash. Now, not only were there Indians here, and they call them the Indian Mounds, but they had Phoenician. They spoke ancient Hebrew. What? Pull up number five real quick. Okay, now hang on. This is just 2 minutes. And this is these guys verifying that this is this. Folks, I want you to come to the annual. You're going to see all this stuff. It's going to be awesome. It's 2 minutes. Go ahead and play it, Spencer. Hebrew Decalogue stone authenticated. Now, look, I want you to know this. A lot of the stuff that they've taken out of these mounds, they've hidden in the Smithsonian. I want to see how smart you are, class. Why are they hiding all of this ancient history from us? Does anybody, come on, somebody smart out there. Who told you that and why do you believe them? Why are they hiding all this ancient, why?
They don't want me to let you know the truth.
They don't want you to know the Bible's true. They don't want you to know the Bible's true. So here they are. They authenticate this stone found right over there as Phoenician. It's 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Go ahead. Start at the beginning.
This is a Decalogue stone with the Ten Commandments written on it on all sides of it. And this is a stone box that the Decalogue was found in.
Okay.
So when it was found, it was enclosed in this box and you couldn't even see the stone inside. The box is carved out inside exactly to fit the Decalogue stone.
Well, who's that guy?
Well, this figure here on the front that's wearing a robe.
How did they know how to carve into stone? Go ahead.
In a turban and holding either tablets or a breastplate. And over his head in these Hebrew letters, it says Moshe or Moses.
Oh.
So that's must be Moses.
Okay, that's Moses. All right.
Who delivered the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Okay, well. It seems to pass the scrutiny of the skeptics as far as the Hebrew text in the language. So now I'd like to try to add some evidence to this whole discussion.
Do that. Go back there, Spencer. Go back there just a little bit. Folks, how'd they do that? Go ahead.
This thing is polished after it was carved. It's scratched like I would expect. Well, it fits snug.
So the box in itself took an awful lot of work. I mean, if it was really a forgery, you wouldn't go to all that much trouble to make a box for it. So I think that speaks to its authenticity, that someone really was, this was very important to someone.
This is a lot of work, and it's polished. It's got the detailing of the grooves. It wasn't made, as far as I can tell, from modern machinery. Geologically, I don't see any problems here that would make these things obvious hoaxes. So the skeptics have rejected this.
Well, that's been a factor, but the, Hebrew is an odd thing to find here.
The fact that it's odd doesn't mean that it's not genuine. What it boils down to is really the problem with these artifacts is that the academics don't like them because they don't fit the paradigm. And unfortunately for them, you can't dismiss things simply because you don't like them.
Right.
And so the evidence to me seems clear. There's no reason not to accept these as genuine.
Go back here a little bit. Hey, folks, I don't know. Was that something maybe somebody gave to their son? Somebody got this carved and put it in a box, sent it with them, and so they had it. And somehow these Phoenicians end up over here in Jacksontown, Ohio, over in the Jacksontown Mound. That's what they call it, right over the hill, Jacksontown Mound. Folks, I want to take you to show. I want you. Fritz is going to come. I want you to come. You're not going to be able to see the Decalogue stone because it's out there where Bill Dunphy lives. It's out of Coshocton, Ohio in a museum. But it's real. It's authentic. And it came from right over here. And L.A. Marzulli said that we are in Nephilim Central. Now, hang on. We don't even believe in them, do we? We believe in the giants? When's the last time you went to your church and they talked to you about the giants? Things coming upon the earth. Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Wow. Wow. pull up number six. No, I'm sorry. That's the museum that it's in Coshocton, Ohio. That is the Decalogue stone, which you just saw. It's sitting in a museum in Coshocton, Ohio. It's about 40 minutes away from here. Sitting there. We can go see it. I've never done it, but you can go see it. All of it found where, Betty? Where was it found?
Very close to you by Columbus.
Right there. Right over there. Found right over there. Not 2,400. 10,000. Hang on. Pull up number seven. Is that what I want? Pull up number seven. Okay, look. Okay. I'm not going to show all this. 10 facts about Nephilim giants and angel hybrid from the Book of Enoch. Now, listen. Because I got some email. Coach, you shouldn't be talking about the Book of Enoch. It's not in the Bible. Okay, it's not. But it's a historical rendition of what was going on at that time. Can we agree with this? So Spencer put this pretty fast. I'm not going to show all of it. This guy's going to give you 10 facts about the Nephilim giants and angel-human hybrids from the Book of Enoch. Now hang on. Men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the earth. Now, wait a minute. Mark Trump, you out there? Are you out there, Mark? AI. Is AI some deep, dark, demonic energy source we don't understand? Something's happening here. Okay, real quickly, it's 16 minutes long. I'm not going to make you do it. In fact, Spencer, here's what I want you to do. When you start playing this, it's going to be in steps. So be step one, step two, step three, step four. And this guy's going to give you 10 facts about the Nephilim giants and angel hybrids. That's why you got to come to the annual. Go ahead, Spence.
The Book of Enoch is perhaps the most.
Okay. He's going to tell you about the Book of Enoch. We know that. Scroll on forward. Just start scrolling. I'm sorry. I didn't have a spin up. He's going to say issue one. You'll see it. Watch. Okay. Here we go.
Fact number one. The Book of Enoch presents 200 angels called watcher angels, or in Greek, egregoroi. And they are appointed by God to watch over, guide, and tutor humans. However, these 200 watcher angels take wives. They lust after women. They take human wives, and they cause these women to conceive half-breed gigantic children called the Nephilim. Interesting fact,
okay,
number two.
There you go.
The leader of these 200 watcher angels that have sexual relations with women, his name is Shem Yaza, or Sam Yaza, or in Greek, Semi Aza, or sometimes you see Semi Jaza. It's the name in Hebrew that can either mean gazer at the heaven, gazer from heaven, or gazer of the name, as in the name of God. And what's interesting about the book of Enoch, to go down, they said, but to do this thing. Three. So the 200 watcher angels go down, they seduce human women, and they have babies with them. And this all happens during the time of the patriarch in the Bible named Jared. Jared is the actual father of Enoch, who allegedly wrote this book. And you can learn about Jared in Genesis 5:18. He lived to be 962 years. And at this time, quote, this is in 1 Enoch, and there was great impiety and much fornication, and they went astray, and all their ways became corrupt. And the sexual immorality led by the angels and these giant babies is the cause, according to Noah. Fact number four, one of the 200 fallen angels that seduces women is named Azazel. Azazel, also in scripture, is known as the scapegoat. And he is a demon who taught humans metallurgy, taught them how to make weapons like swords, spears, shields, and also taught women how to take pigments and to color their face, their cheeks, their eyes, their eyelid, eyeliner, everything. So, for seduction. Shocking fact number five. God commands Saint Michael the Archangel, who appears in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in the book of Revelation, to go and bind up, to arrest the 200 fallen watcher angels and place them into the...
They're going to be released! They're going to be released! That's what's coming upon the earth. It's going to scare people. Go to the next one.
The earth, quote. And all right, let's keep going. Number six. The role of Enoch as a person. According to the book of Enoch, Enoch was chosen by God to receive special visions and prophecies about the end of the world. Christians have been puzzled for hundreds of years by the fact that the apostle Jude, St. Jude, one of the 12 apostles, quoted the text, Enoch, in the New Testament. So in Jude chapter 1, verse 14, he says, quote, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints.
Freeze that, folks. Jude, the book of Jude, quotes Enoch. Go ahead.
The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So clearly, Jude, one of the apostles, believed in the book of Enoch. And this is why it's so controversial. It never made it into the New Testament, and it was lost until 1773, when the famous explorer James Bruce returned from Ethiopia with three copies of the book of Enoch. Soon after that, scholars began to realize that this was the book of Enoch that was cited by Jude in the New Testament, word for word, and that it's talking about fallen angels having sex with women. Fun fact number seven, Enoch reveals that God desires a solar calendar and not a lunar calendar. If you know anything about Judaism or the Old Testament, you know that in the Old Testament, according to Moses, the calendar of the Jews goes on the pattern of the moon. For example, they calculate the date of Passover based on the moons, and all the feast days of the Jews are based on the lunar cycle. Enoch, however, in the book of Enoch, promotes a solar calendar. What's also notable is the book of Genesis says that Enoch, some scholars, interesting fact number eight, the book of Enoch believes that the temple in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, so the second temple rebuilt under Ezra and Nehemiah, is not pleasing to God. It's a bad temple. Here's what the book of Enoch says. The Jews, when they returned from exile, reared up that tower, and they began again to place a table before the tower, but all the bread on it was polluted and not pure, end quote. Here he's referring in a polemic to the second temple. Fact number nine about the book of Enoch is that it is focused on the Son of Man, who is identified as the Chosen One, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Righteous One. And all the language about the Son of Man and the Messiah sounds like the New Testament description for Jesus Christ, word for word. For example, book of Enoch says that the Son of Man will sit on a throne of glory. He will judge the living and the dead. He will come down to earth and dwell with the righteous. He will destroy sinners and take down kings and rulers who are against God. He will be a... Actually, no. The 10th interesting fact about the book of Enoch is that the underworld, in Hebrew known as Sheol, in Greek Hades, we in English might call it hell, has four hollowed out places. And each of these four hollowed out places down in the netherworld are assigned to different kinds of people. One of the four areas is illuminated and bright. The other three are dark. So the first place that is illuminated, according to 1 Enoch, contains...
That's it. That's all 10. So there you go. Folks, come on now. Come on. Now, everything that's going on around us, again, because we ignore the supernatural, we're not taught about the supernatural. Most of our pastors, if you tried to show this in a church, pastor would run you out, right? But the things coming upon the earth, oh my goodness. I'm going to open up it here. Just a second. What am I looking for? Pull up number. Oh, yeah, number nine. Number nine. Hey, you want to spend some time? Just go to YouTube and type in giants. and look at the videos on giants. Folks, this is so critical and so real, and we're not hearing about it in mainstream Christianity at all. Video after video after video after video after video of the giants. Why did Noah flood the earth? Them dudes! Those guys! They had sex with angels and they had giants! You ever heard about that in your church? Talk to you at all about that church? Okay, so this is why we want you to come to the annual. We're going to take you to, I talked to Fritz last night. Where are we going to take you? He said, oh, yeah, we'll go to the Circle Mound. We'll go to the Alligator Mound. He started rattling off. He said, I'm going to take these folks, and we'll go, and we'll stand at the Circle Mound. See if you can pull that up there. Circle Mound in Newark, Ohio, Spencer. He said, I'm going to stand there, and then I'll explain to them what went on and how the Watchers built this. And, oh, my, are you kidding me? He says, yeah, then we'll go to the Alligator Mound, and we'll stand at the Alligator Mound, and we'll explain to everybody what happened here. Okay, here we are. This is the earth. These are the Newark earthworks. Click over here on the right. Yeah, there. See if you can make that one bigger. We're going to go. Folks, they've told us forever that these Newark earthworks were made by the Indians. It's not. It's, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. There it is. Oh. Right, oh, it's right there. Man, I'm telling you this. Fritz can't wait to explain to you the geometric layout of these mounds. Hang on. And the only way that these could have been designed perfectly geometrically is what? You had to be above them.
Boom.
In order to form them, you couldn't do it from the ground. You had to be above them. And these are all perfectly formed geometrically. So what? God sits high and looks low. Fallen angels high, looking low. Oh, man. I know I water hosed you. I know I water hosed you. What the heck? What the heck? Come on in, Mark Trump.
Yeah, this is good, Coach. Why is it important? I think that the main reason why it's important is things that were on the earth then will be on the earth.
That's right.
They're going to be. And if you think about the angels, they were here before they fell. They were here. They were part of what God put here. Then they fell. Right? So the... Yeah. Watchers that were on the earth made the Nephilim. God destroyed most of them, but they're coming back. And God had them here, Coach. He had the Watchers here.
The Ten Commandments were here before Columbus discovered America. Yeah, is anybody picking that up?
Amen. Amen. Amen, Coach. Good teaching.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. So let me again. Folks, I would like to raise $3,000 so people can come for $10. That's what I'd like to be able to do. And we can, because I think this is so critical that people locally will come, but they're not going to come if I got to charge them $60 for their meal. They just want to come and go to the tours. And Fritz has been really, really generous. Fritz is coming for $750. That's his travel expense. And then a couple hotel rooms. And did I already show you what the fees were going to be? I don't want money to be an obstacle. Okay, I don't want money to be an obstacle. So I want to raise in the neighborhood of $3,500 so this can be free. Now, hang on. I can't make it free because we'll get overwhelmed, food. You understand that, right? So a $10 ticket would be authentication. We have some idea how many are coming, yada, yada, yada. This is July 10, 11, and 12. Let's see. Again, put Fritz's website back up there so people know what we're talking about. If you could. And that's, you know, Fritz, just, it's just amazing stuff that he has on there. Yeah, what's a good hotel, Donica? I'm going to talk to Mel. Mel set us up with a good place, and we'll try to find. Look, if you want to stay at the Ritz, you can stay at the Ritz. If you just want a place to sleep, we'll get you a cheaper place that you can stay for that. Okay, but this is going to be history. We're sitting right here in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, and the people locally don't really know about it. Or Airbnb, Ray's saying Airbnb, lot of things. I would just encourage you for the fellowship come. You know, we got a meal ticket. We got the fellowship come. But not only that, you're going to be blown away. Blown away. It's right. Oh, the Jacksontown Mound is right over the hill where they found the Decalogue. We're in the middle of it. Okay, we'll shut up. Somebody come on in here. Somebody. Thank you. Dave Allison, come on in. Or Sherry, both of you, come on in. Can't hear you, Dave. Is anybody hearing Dave? I'm not hearing Dave. Looks to me like he's still muted. Can't hear you, Dave. You're muted. I can see his microphone's muted. I'm sure he's trying. Somebody else. Dave will hang on.
Well, I see okay. Dave put a link in the chat.
Go ahead. Say it again, Vinny.
Dave put a link in the chat. I think he wants you to play it.
Put a link in the chat? What do you mean? Oh, here's Fritz. Giants. Good. Play that. Good catcher. Dave, I don't know why we can't hear you. It's an hour and 19 minutes. Put this in Giants in America, Fritz Zimmerman, right? He's the expert. He and L.A. Marzulli, and I was going to try to bring L.A. in, but it would get too expensive. I wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, I'm stuck. Waiting to hear from you. Craig says, that's why the flooding. That's what it was all about. He had to flood the earth because why? He saw what the hell was going on. Right. Hey, Spencer, real quickie. Thanks, Adam. I'll get you in a second. Spencer, Genesis 6, please. Genesis 6. Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, fallen angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives. And it really made the Lord mad. He says, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. They're messing around here. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Ever hear of Goliath? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And God was ticked off. He was sorry that he had made man, grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. He put him on a boat, put him in an ark, and he destroyed everything. How would he do that? He's God. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I've been listening to L.A. Marzulli for years. I don't know if you ever heard of Timothy Alberino. You probably have, but
heck yes.
Those guys, man, are putting forth information that, in my opinion, the Book of Enoch, in my opinion, is scripture. I don't think it should have ever been taken out, which is why I bought the Ethiopian Bible.
Hey, Dave. When we're going to be getting the guys out there.
Okay.
It isn't going to be this morning. It's going to be this afternoon instead. We had to move some things around with the rain.
That's better for me anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, they'll see you this afternoon. They'll reach out when they're on their way. Okay.
Thank you, dear.
Harry, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm sorry. Hey, good. That helps me. It's a little bit of pressure off here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got distracted there. Finish your thought, Adam. Finish your thought again. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was just saying that L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, yes, and a lot yes. of other men like them are putting forth a lot of great information on this. I don't believe that the Book of Enoch should have ever been removed from the Bible. I personally believe it is scripture, along with Jasher and Jubilees, which is why I bought the Book of
Enoch. Let me ask this question real quick, Adam. Who told you that, and why do you believe him? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And when Columbus got here in 1492, there had been a Decalogue stone here for at least 500 years. Amen? And don't ever forget, the winners write the history. Dave Allison, let's see if we can get you back in here.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. My sound card's goofed up on my computer. Hey, I had to reboot. I had put it in the chat, and I'll put it in one more time, and I appreciate it. This is a YouTube interview that Spencer's got it up right now. If people want to understand, this is a great conversation that Fritz has with these guys, and he covers a lot of the stuff in Ohio. And you don't have to play it, Spencer. There's nothing. I just put it in there so people had another reference of what kind of information they're going to get when Fritz comes. It's just a wealth of information. Unbelievable the study this guy has done on this stuff. So again,
hey Spencer, real quick, hang on, Dave. Spencer, while he's doing that, Google a map of Buckeye Lake. Not the town, Buckeye Lake. Go ahead, Dave, while he Googles that for me. Go ahead.
I just wanted to put that in the chat so people have another reference of what kind of information they're going to get when Fritz comes. And he's a very interesting guy, that's for sure. Thanks.
Okay, cool. Sure. Okay, folks, now look. Here's what I want you to understand. Spencer, maybe if you can see what it says, say right there, Spencer, Crislin Hill. See where you see it? It's over here on the right hand side. Yeah, that's Crislin Hill. Crislin Hill. In fact, there's Sky High. See Sky right there? That's Sky High. Now, over on the hill, keep going that way, is the Nephilim. No, the other way. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I didn't explain that. Oh, there is where the concert venue is. There's where the Jacksontown stone is found. All that stuff's right there. Come on back down. I'm going to show you something because here's what happened. Stay right there. Okay, freeze it. Nope. Okay, so there's Buckeye Lake. Okay, Spencer, slide down Buckeye Lake a minute. Yeah, come this way. Go the other way, dude. I'm sorry. Make it smaller. There, folks, see how big Buckeye Lake is? Well, here's what happened. The Jacksontown Mound was a huge, huge mound. And they took, I'm not making this up, history will show it. They took 45,000 wagon loads of stone and they reinforced the north bank of Buckeye Lake. All the way down along there. Spencer, take your marker. It was a swamp, right? All of that, all down through there, 45,000 wagon loads of stone from the mound to reinforce Buckeye Lake. Is that unbelievable? Wow. That's where we are. It's Crislin Hill. Make that big. Stop a minute, Spencer. Okay. Crislin Hill. Now, Spencer, go to Crislin Hill, please. I'm sorry. Right there. Go across the road. Go across the road, 13. Right there. Nope, back. There. Spencer, just go there. Come back here. Go the other direction. Boom, all those trees. That's where the concert venue is now. It's up on a hill, high on a hill. There's wicked stuff that goes on at that concert venue. Scroll on down. I'm going to show. Oh, man, you're doing good. Isn't the Google Earth unbelievable? Now, let me show you something. Keep going. Fairmont Mound. Keep going. Keep going. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep going. We're looking north. Keep coming. Oh, right up there. Linwood Bible Church. Keep going. Keep going. A little bit longer. Oh, right. Okay, hang on. There's a mound right there, highest point in Licking County, Fairmont Church. Do you see it, Spencer? Fairmont Church. Go over here. Clear over here on this side. Clear over here on this side. No, stop. Fairmont Church. There it is. Folks, there's a Nephilim mound at Fairmont Church. There it is. Huh? That's the highest spot in Licking County. demons, angels like the high places. That right there, oh, I could just go on and on and on. You don't want to miss it. Ray, come on in.
Coach, there's so much hidden history that they've taken from us. Something
biblical
really,
history, Ray. Biblical history.
But the late 1800s, there was something going on. I mean, these Tartaria, the humongous structures that were developed and the architecture and the Decalogue stone, that's just one of countless of artifacts up there.
The Decalogue stone is hard evidence,
amen,
right? That is hard evidence that somebody was here before Columbus. Yeah.
For sure.
Who brought Phoenician, early Jewish language, brought Phoenician to Jacksontown, Ohio.
And it appears that there was a lot of giants in the land in the up to the 1800s.
Amen.
And you know that's something that's a big rabbit hole to go down. But boy, I'll tell you, there's something there that they don't want us to know about for sure.
Hey, raise your hand if you've heard about this in your church. Raise your hand if you've heard a sermon on this in your church. Didn't think so. Craig Mickle, come on in. Man, we're running out of time. Come on in, Craig.
Well, I put a lot of stuff in the chat you're not going to hear on other places. I've never heard of it. Okay. So the Washington Monument represents the obelisk to Ra. Ra is the sun god. His birthday is July 13th. He's the creator of all things. You know, the Illuminati was formed on May 1, 1776. 66 days is July 4th. Okay. Jamie Walden's tried to talk about Apollo and, you know, this Apollo was CERN was built over the Temple of Apollo. You know, the golden days. Remember, we were told we're going to enter into the golden age underneath the Dome of Washington. Well, you're under the golden days, except it's the days that you're talking about men's hearts failing them, because it was the antediluvian golden days, not make more Federal Reserve dollars in gold.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. This is why, you know, all the stuff's in the chat that I put there, you know, and there's a reason why July is when all these UFO set things started coming up in the past, whether it was Roswell. You know, CERN found a God particle on July 4th of 2020. Okay, this is a window of heaven moment, and you're going to see it this year.
Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Dudes, I don't know. Hey, Spencer, do me real quickly. Zoom out so people get a real feeling for what's going on. Now, just stay right there. Stay right there, Spencer. Okay, so folks, the mounds begin. Actually, Flint Ridge, over here, the far right side, Flint Ridge State Memorial. It's full of flint there. Flint's significant in the Bible, by the way. And they told us that that's where the Indians got all their flint. That's why they settled here, is what they wanted us to believe, right? So you see Flint Ridge, and zoom out a little bit. So hang on, down here, Spencer, come at Legend Valley. You see where that is, purple down at the bottom? Harbor Hills, you see Buckeye Lake? See the form of Buckeye Lake there? There's Buckeye Lake, okay? Now, all the mounds, for the most part, are northwest. Scroll back up north. Yeah, up in there. Pull that down. There's Hebron, but go north. No, go north. Just slide down, Spence. Slide down. Slide down. Cherry Valley. There. Now we're getting into it. Licking County Humane Center. Where are the mounds? Anyway, I'm all over my place here. Infirmary Mound. That's over by Green. They're everywhere. Where is a Licking Memorial? Okay, there I see. Comfort Inn. Oh, Newark. Do you see the earthworks? Cornerstone Ligament. I wish I had the marker because I could go right there. Newark Earthworks over here on the right-hand side. Over here on the right-hand side, Spencer. Newark Earthworks, right inside, right hand. Right, you went right by it. There it is. Great Circle Earthworks. There it is. Folks, this stuff all connects. You got to be here. Help me raise the funds, and then everybody can come. It's going to be unbelievable. James Thomas, come on, James.
Yeah, morning, brother. It's you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Right. I mean, what has been shall be. And it, you look at the book of Joshua, you got AI, and you've got all this stuff that was taking place. Joshua had to go in conquest and defeat these things. So Joshua and Revelation work are kind of hand-to-hand, a mirror of Old Testament and New Covenant battles. So I think it's really important that the Holy Spirit is bringing these to light today.
That's right.
Because we're living in that season, brother. It's coming.
That's right. Hey, folks, we're not to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We are, right? We are. And so, don't get me going on. So people say, well, Coach Dave, we're not even going to be here for this. The raptures will be out here before this happens. Really? Really? Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Wow. I'm pumped up. Okay. I think I'm done. In other words, I think I've said about all I'm going to say. Let me see. Again, Spencer, throw back up there the annual cost analysis. As you guys know, I'm not ripping you off. And for us to be able to do this, it's going to be in the neighborhood of, what did I say, $3,900? I don't want people to have to drive all the way here, get a hotel, yada yada, and then have to pay $59, $120 a couple just to get in. See, we're feeding you. We got, I told you what's going on, tents, speakers. Fritz is coming for $750. Are you kidding me? $750. He's coming for that. That's the only expense, pretty much, other than the food, which you know, we have people going to cook the food. That'll be great. Food, you can see the meals. $1,600 to prepare the food, and the site prep's $1,100, and the speakers is $1,050. There's our expenses, and the more we get, anyway, help us with that if you could. Now, wait a minute. Don't go in and stick a bunch of money in there yet, because I want to try to set up a fund so you guys see that the money's gone. If you want to stick it in there, look, it doesn't matter, right? All of our money goes. We're doing God's work here, all of it, depending on how we use it. All right, boy, I've rattled for 54 minutes. Now, the first thing's going to happen, Betty, you're going to go to your pastor, and you're going to tell him about this, and he's going to say, Betty, that book of Enoch's been debunked, Betty. That's not even in the Bible, Betty. When he doesn't even teach most of the stuff that's in the Bible. Right? There were giants in the earth in those days and also after. Also after. What was the flood? Connect all the dots. Men's hearts failing for fear for things coming upon the earth. They told us 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America, except there was a decalogue here from 10. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? Now, you'll get to meet face-to-face people in the queue. Huh? Yeah, and you'll get out of your car and you walk up and you'll say, wow, look, there's Betty. Betty, I never met. There's Betty. Oh, there's Randy. Oh, that's Ray. Hey, Ray. It's a great, great reunion. So make a plan to come. And it'll be life-changing for you. Not only that, your fellow will sharpen. I got 5 minutes. Somebody help me up here. Oh, I got so much. I can't get started on it. Dave.
Well, Coach, while we're on the topic, one thing Fritz brings out in that interview, and I never thought about it, is he talks about the spirits of the giants are captured here on earth. They can't leave.
Yes.
He said the weird thing about giant mounds where giant skeletons are found, he said Indians believed in the afterlife, and they would bury artifacts with their bones just for where they were going in the afterlife. He said that was indicative of Indians when they buried their bones. When mm-hmm. they dig up giant bones, there's no artifacts like that, showing that they knew there was no afterlife for them.
Well, that's a great point, Dave.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. One other important thing, Sherry and I are celebrating our 48th today.
Oh, man, I tell my wife and I said, that's 96, 48 for her and 48 for me. That's 96 years, isn't it? 48. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Dave and Sherry. Happy anniversary to you. Craig, come on in.
I'll put in Genesis 14. Go back and read that, folks. Go do the location of where those kings are. That's when five kings fought four kings. That's when Lot was taken. And then this 10th king shows up, King Melchizedek. Understand who King Melchizedek was and how that's attached to Hebrews. I think it's chapter 10 or 11 about Jesus. And that is where you're at. The Bible is bookends. You're in the back end of the bookend.
Amen.
Oh. That's exactly what's going on. And you wonder why no King's Day, no this and this and this. These 10 kings existed then. They exist now. They have territorial domain. But Jesus owns the earth because it's his footstool.
Hey, folks, see, the fallen angels are trapped. They can't go to heaven. They're going to end up in the bottomless pit, but they can't go there yet. And so the spirits, wow. Could that be what Bigfoot is? Could that be the beginning appearance of these giants? But see, we'll never get it if we continue to believe that the mounds were built by the Hopewell Indians. By the way, there wasn't any such thing as the Hopewell Indians. That was the name of the guy who discovered that Indian tribe. His name was Hopewell.
Thank you.
Always down a rabbit trail, isn't it? Always down a rabbit trail. So some guy did some research on it and said, these were the Indians. This is what they did. This is what they did. And his name was Hopewell. So they named him the Hopewell Indians. And that lie still lives today. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.
18.